Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 50. We are on the fourth paragraph. Here are thousands of men and women going through four sentences, ending in, "This happened after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements." We're in the chapter, We Agnostics. Today's readers are, and thank you to Team October, Martha Z, Katie G, Anne Marie M, On the Steps, Jackie D, Traditions, Joni D, our newcomer greeter for today, Loretta M, host, Christine G for the second awesome unrecorded hour. The reference ID numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, October 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,791. That's 21791. And for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, 21,792. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Jackie D. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Jackie.
Thank you, Amy. Good morning, everyone. This is Jackie D. from Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so we injured them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Jackie D. Okay, I will now ask for Joni D. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota.
Oh, I beg your pardon. It's Joni C. Okay, thank you. Please go ahead.
1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Joni C. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics on page 50, we're starting with the fourth paragraph, and I am going to ask Martha Z to get us started as we go through the first four sentences. Go ahead, Martha.
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for your service. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude toward that power, and to do certain simple things, there has been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Good morning, my friends in recovery. I was just smiling because I was about to say this is probably my favorite part in this chapter, especially the last part of this paragraph. And my husband always says, you say that about everything. And I say, no, I have a favorite part in every chapter. So anyway, so in the beginning, it says, since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, okay, so we're talking about step two, to take a certain attitude toward that power, here comes step three, and you know, trusting and leaving everything in his hands, and to do certain simple things, steps 4 through 9. There's been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking, steps 10, 11, and 12. Then they say, in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found a new power, peace, and happiness, sense of direction flowed into them. This happened after they met a few simple requirements, which are the 12 steps. And I love that, you know, a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction. And I was so powerless. I was barely making it through the day. And I really do, referring to the end of this paragraph, I really do have this power, you know, that's greater than myself that helps me with everything. So grateful for it. I am extremely grateful not to be fighting food and weight, but I'm most grateful to have this power, which gives me a tremendous amount of peace, happiness, and sense of direction and usefulness. So I usually say, show me the next step, the next right thing. And I just say to God, like, help me to be at peace doing the next right thing. I know you're going to show me what that is. And but then, you know, it has, this power enables me to match calamity with serenity. And I was thinking about the part on page 68 where it says, we are in the world to play the role he assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. And anyway, so that's where I am right now. I am, my husband and I are both caregivers for our elderly parents. My mom just turned 100. And it's very, very stressful. But I am learning how to leave things in God's hands and not take them back. And I am so grateful to have that help, because I could not do it without it. And, you know, I'm so grateful for my recovery right now. And when I leave things in God's hands and ask him to remove my fear, the answer the one day was, be at peace and trust God. So I am going to pass with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Martha Z, for getting us started. Okay, so we're going to take names now. So if you could please give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and the state you're from, that helps us find you on the contact list. And if you have shared in the last couple of days, namely Wednesday or Tuesday, although we value your experience, we ask that you please allow others to share today, and that would be great. So who would like to share on what was read?
Charles H. from New York.
Katie D.
Nancy
from Boston.
Melissa.
Kelly S.
Nancy P.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Nicole S.
Okay, hold on one sec. I've got Charles H., Katie G., Nancy P., and I've missed a few people. I couldn't write fast enough. So could you please, if you said your name already, could you please repeat?
Melissa.
All right, so I got Melissa. Who else did I miss?
Bonnie B. Bonnie B. from Florida.
Bonnie. Gotcha.
Thanks.
I missed Bonnie.
Nicole S.
All right, who else? Nicole. Okay. Gosh, I got missed myself terrible. Nicole S. Anybody else?
Chelsea R.
Jesse. Okay. Jesse R. All right. I think that was everybody, but did I miss anyone else? Certainly could have. Or is there anyone else that would like to share?
Janice PM.
Janice.
Nancy C.
Okay. Nancy? Nancy
yeah.
C. All right. We have now got an awesome lineup. Charles H., Katie G., Nancy P., Melissa C., Bonnie B., Nicole S., Jesse R., Janice PM, and Nancy C. All right, Charles, you're up, my friend.
Okie dokie, smokey. I love you like food. After cooked food. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. So for me, the big book consists of at least five things in my life: prayers, promises, conditions, warnings, and questions. And there was a great going to go through it based on a question.
Oh, Charles, you're breaking up a little bit. Oh, no. We can't hear you. Are you still there? Charles, we lost you.
No?
Hopefully that's not. There we go.
All right, don't worry about it. I'll pass.
Well, Charles, we can bring you back. If you think you can come back in another area, I'll come back to you and a couple of people. Would you like that? Lost him again. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead to Katie G. Katie G, you're up, followed by Nancy P.
Good morning, Amy. This is Katie G. Thanks for taking the meeting. Recovered in Boston. You know, I think it's so amazing that it says simple requirements, simple things, and then revolutionary change in my way of thinking and living. And I've definitely had a revolution in my life, and I continue to have revolutions in my life. One of the things that the face of collapse and despair reminds me of, my lung collapsing a second time because I was too thin. I remember going for a walk and calling my sponsor at the time and crying because my knee hurt so much. But I couldn't stop walking. I couldn't admit to myself that I was in collapse and despair. And I was. I was in the total failure of my human resources because human powers don't do it, right? And for me, in the beginning, that simple attitude that pushed me into the steps was collapse and despair. That's all it was. Like, willingness wasn't some big deal for me. Willingness came from collapse and despair, from this inability to manage my life and being pushed into a corner. And thanks be to God today, you know, I can continue to look at these few simple requirements, and I do have a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction. But I don't always, right? That's why step 10 exists for me. There are plenty of times that I get very blocked, that I look for human powers to take care of me, that I look for my body to be a symbol of something that it can't be, right? That I look for materialistic things or atta girls from my husband, and yet the only thing that can do this for me is God, right? When I don't go in to God, I go without. So thanks be to God, I can have this revolutionary change. You know, I'm a girl who my first memories were I should be somebody else doing something else with some other people at some other time. And I used exercise and the scale and my body weight as a metric of whether or not I was okay. And I can tell you that I'm walking around in my 46-year-old body with a 4 and a 6-year-old, and I am terribly imperfect at this. But I do, like, I pause when agitated or doubtful, or I pause and I know that I have to do a step 10 and see the world differently. I'm no longer a victim of other people's anger or rage, and I can be neutral. I'm neutral with the food. I mean, that's unbelievable. I haven't gotten on the scale in multiple months, and I don't need to today because my God has been a revolutionary change. I have no power, no choice, and no control. But the best thing is that God has revolutionized my life, and I want to be in my skin, and I want to live my life today. And that is a revolution. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Katie G. from Boston, Mass. Charles, we're going to circle back to you. Do you want to try again?
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask that beautiful question. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. Thank you. Bro had to go for his iPhone Pro Max because I had the work phone, and maybe God was like, nah, not that one. Anyway, I'm Charles H., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And for me, the big book consists of at least 5 elements or components: prayers, promises, warnings, conditions, and yes, questions. Can I be heard is a great question because I need to be heard. Maybe not seen, but I could be heard. And so I'm studying the big book from a question perspective. And, you know, skepticism is definitely part of, you know, I'm not afraid to say I'm a believer and I'm skeptical. This whole chapter talks about skepticism. And Bill is tippy-toeing and tightening the screws and saying, you know, questions like, am I not willing to believe? Right? And this in particular four lines is a second step promise. Like, I used to be like, try to, you know, cynicism on the line, judging your shares and what, judging your motive. But now, power, peace, and happiness, in particular, power to recover and to not be subbing people on the line, atheist versus believer. That's ridiculous. But God has flowed into me. I'm now praying for people that can't do nothing for me. That's power, peace, and happiness today, right? I'm so grateful. Like, you know, being a resentful person all day is AI. It's artificial intelligence, right? And I am so – this is an inclusive fellowship. Everybody is considered the captain's seat, like it talks about in There's a Solution. There's no celebrities in a spiritual program, right? And I'm so grateful to be deeply going into the second step, because I'm crazy. Like, I love some of the questions in Bill's story. Was I crazy? Yeah, right? I realize that I'm crazy on a daily basis. Like, I turn into a pumpkin, but I can turn the switch to get power, peace, and happiness, and to be useful. Man, there's so much questions. There's the most questions in this book is in. Thank you, Miss Okie Dokie. Love you like cooked food.
Thank you, Charles. Okay, glad we could get you back in there. Nancy P., you're up, followed by Melissa C. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in Weston, Massachusetts. I love Charles. He's like the best. Anyways, these four sentences are, you know, I love this chapter. I'm an agnostic still today, and, you know, I'm not ever looking for reasons that I need to not be that way. I'm looking for reasons to just be recovered. And it says, you know, others have talked about it, you know, wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. After is the operative word there, not before. Like, I always want to say, okay, I've read the steps. I know what the answer is. I'm just going to be that way, and that's it. And you know, I've been in this program. In January, it'll be 54 years, and I've only been recovered since December of 2017, so close to 7 years. And the reason for that is two. One, I never admitted that I was powerless over food and that my life was unmanageable. I just sort of read it and said, okay. And second, I didn't wholeheartedly meet these requirements. I slogged, I didn't even make a half-hearted effort. I just sort of felt like my attention alone should be enough, like trying to think my way into the right way of being. And, you know, the second step actually says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that itself was a revolution. Revolutionary meaning sudden and far-reaching. I mean, when I read that, actually read it, like, was told to shut the F up and listen, you know, and I actually read that step, I thought, no one's making me do anything. No one's saying that it's a prerequisite for Nancy P. to believe in something that just wasn't going down too well. You know, I wasn't, it was like medicine. You know, I couldn't seem to take it. And that released me. That, I call it the God hump. That just made it disappear. You know, I got past that and I said, I can believe that something rather than in something. And I, you know, it might seem like I'm like hammering on this one little word, but for someone like me, it was the difference between binging my brains out, whether I dinged my manicure or my daughter was hacking herself up with a razor blade. Like, it was the same kind of eating. And all that disappeared, like, pretty instantly. And to me, you know, once I did all of the steps wholeheartedly, after, not when I just put the food down, that is the beginning, not the end, and it's not the goal for me. It's a byproduct of, you know, it's the exhaust that comes out the other end when I burn the steps for fuel. you know, I can't manage my own life. It's always going to be unmanageable. It's still unmanageable. And, you know, at this very moment in time, this very minute, you know, I talked to my sponsor this morning and I was telling her about some very, you know, some difficult things that are uncomfortable, you know, and we talked about it and, you know, nothing has changed. Still difficult, still painful. But at the same time, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I don't hurt myself with food. I help other people. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace because I do this stuff wholeheartedly, and I've done them all, and I keep doing them all every day because I sponsor other people, because I make outreach calls, because I show up for meetings, I do service when I can, you know, and all that. And so if you haven't done those things and if you're wondering why you're still in the food, try meeting these requirements wholeheartedly and see what happens. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. All right, Melissa C., you're up, followed by Bonnie B.
Hey, Amy. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, wow, just, you know, the shares are really hitting me this morning. I you know, I read this and I think since I've come to believe, right, to take a certain attitude towards power. And I think that's really the biggest, most profound change for me is that a certain attitude in me needed to be changed towards power. And consistently I need to keep having this attitude adjustment towards power. And what is the attitude that I have to have? Surrender. I always, you know, I'm coming after my friend who says surrender, surrender, surrender. But it's not just about the food. It's about everything in life. And I need to have an attitude of humility. First of all, that I need to surrender it, that I can't control whatever it is, and that I don't know, right? Sometimes I get these certain circumstances, and it's like, I don't know. And that, for me, admitting that I don't know is probably, like, you know, the biggest change of all, because I always walked around saying, I know, I know, I know. And today, you know, I don't know, but God, I want to. I really want to. And I needed to come to a concept of a God that I feel is actually interested in me. That is the concept that's most useful for me, and that not only is God interested in me, but that I'm interested in knowing God better, that I want to know this power better, and I want to give it everything. And when I take that attitude, what happens is revolutionary changes in my living and my thinking. And, you know, prior to a change in this attitude, I was living for me. I was living for me and my comfort. And I had this false idea that I'm happiest when it's easy and I can have more. Whatever it is, if it's easy and I get more, then I'm happy. And the change is that today, well, I don't look to, like, make things deliberately hard. It's not like I'm chasing down the hardest possible route or the thing that deprives me of something. The change is that I don't avoid hard, and I don't avoid sacrifice, because I know that when I do, what is aligned with what the God that I believe is interested in me wants me to do, I'm actually happier. And what I get is power, peace, happiness, and a sense of direction that flows into me, and despite life's challenges. So, like, you know, with my mother's dementia, with it being the holidays, I take my direction from a God that I surrender to, that I know loves me, and I get peace, happiness, and I get carried. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. So now we have Bonnie B. followed by Nicole S. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for your service this morning. Good morning, everyone. Oh, my word. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered in the state of Florida today. Out on a walk, so you might be competing with some birds. So follow a few simple suggestions / steps. That's what it is for me. When I came into the program, the only thing I could see was the list that my sponsor gave me. And the list is perfectly fine. And I still follow the list, to be honest. I weigh and measure because I don't have a built-in weigher. I call people on a regular basis. I sponsor. I do those things because on page 77, it says our purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and other people. And that's how I keep myself fit from the outside. Now, from the inside, that's totally different. This is what the steps are all about for me. I was separated. And, you know, round two, Hurricane Ian took our house out completely. And 2 years minus one day, Hurricane Helene comes in. And again, prepared? No. But let me tell you, I got on the lines after Hurricane Ian because I binged. And guess what I didn't do after Hurricane Helene? 2 years later, thank you, God. This is the program. I don't get to decide what today looks like. I just get to wake up, take a deep breath, thank my God, who I call God, for another day, look to him and ask him, what would you have me to be? And right now in this neighborhood, it's be of service to other people. People are pulling stuff to the curb again. They're redoing garages there. You know, this is just, it is what it is. Someone shared a couple of things that were so helpful. They said, grieve the life you thought you were going to have so that you can embrace the one that God has for you today. And then accept things as if you had chosen it that way. Okay, this is my goal for today. I don't get to decide what the movie looks like. I just get to show up and play a part in it. And hopefully that means looking like God, sounding like God, thinking like God, and acting like God today. And that only happens when he changes the inside. The outside doesn't last for more than 20 seconds. But if he changes the inside, then everything's good. And so one other little thing before I leave. Someone had shared also, and I have this book with all these amazing shares. They said it's not the elements of the steps or the process that saves me. It's the result of the process / steps that save me. And I put in my little notes, connecting to God and staying connected to God. This is what working these steps does. He takes care of all the rest. And I get to live in that place of, as others have said, peace, joy, serenity. Those are the big buck items for me. The other things, for me, my disease wants to use those. But if I can live in peace and joy, I've scored for today. And that means getting out of me and helping other people. And so I think with that, I'll pass. And thanks again, everyone. Beautiful shares and beautiful meeting.
Thank you, Bonnie B. Glad to hear you are safe. All right, Nicole S., you're up. Jesse R., next. Okay, Nicole, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Colorado. And thank you, Amy, for your service. And I love this paragraph, just such a reminder that it's God who is going to bring that revolutionary change in my life. In my living and thinking, that makes me think of my whole being, you know, how I'm acting and living my life, but also my thoughts. And, you know, I think that last part, you know, that sense of direction flowing into them. And it makes me think back on page 87 from into action on the step, that, you know, being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. And I have found that to be so true. When I work the steps, there are requirements, you know, and when I was faced of that total failure, my human resources, I can't do anything. I find a absolute direct correlation with the more I try, the more I fail. just because I'm trying on my own human resources and they don't work. But when I take that pause and I ask God for his direction, thy will, not mine, be done. You know, even though I still mess up, and I'm so grateful for, you know, the 10 steps that I can clean things up, but I find as time flows, it's, you know, it's practicing a different way of life, that revolutionary different way. It's completely different than what I did before of trying to be the actor, running the show, arranging the lights, arranging the people. And when I instead just realize I'm the actor, God's my director, and I'm going to follow his directions, you know, I'm wiring a new pathway in my brain. And, you know, as time passes, I've got that sense of direction flowing, of, you know, intuitively knowing what to do and taking the next right step. So these are just wonderful promises. And, you know, I came into program as a believer, but I had to absolutely change everything of how, you know, I was, my way of living and thinking of, instead of being in charge, letting God be in charge. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Jesse R., you're up, followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, Amy, this is actually Kelsey R. in Texas, a recovered compulsive reader.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's okay. This is such a beautiful reading today. I was captivated by this word wholeheartedly. And, you know, I think of other phrases like half measures, either God is everything or nothing, no middle of the road solution. And it's just evidence that God, through Bill, knew that I am, and maybe like me, you are too, all or nothing people, right? I'm either all in or I'm all out. I'm either going to do it perfectly or I'm not going to do it at all. I'm either entirely honest or I'm dishonest. And man, the self-deception, the experimentation kept me in the illness, and I became more sick in the rooms of OA, not because the solution doesn't work, because it absolutely does, but because I didn't have that certain attitude yet. And, you know, just this attitude that I've come to find for myself and that I have to adopt is that I have to embrace absolute honesty. If I'm not honest, I'm not really working any program. And then the second is this willingness to go to any length to find and experience and follow the God of my understanding. And then to do this daily work to keep that channel clear. And when I do this, I get to experience the opposite of, or like what's listed here, right? I came in powerless and I have this new sense of power. I came in conflicted and aimlessly going nowhere, and I now have peace. I came in and had, you know, all of these bedevilments that are talked about in this book, the misery and the depression, and I now have happiness. And I had no purpose before, and now I have this beautiful purpose and sense of direction. And for the longest time, I just thought people were like, because I didn't have it for myself yet. I hadn't experienced the promises truly for myself yet. So I just was like, people are just, that they actually are experiencing these things, and I am, like, and I'm not free of, like, trials and challenges, and, you know, we continue to pave this road of challenges with my son, but at the same time, I can still have joy, like, in the midst of that trial, so it's real. This is all real. Like, these are all real promises. This is all, solution is real. So if you don't believe it, grab someone that does, so you can experience it for yourself. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelsey R. I missed where you said you were from again.
Kelsey? Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Great, Kelsey. Okay. So before we go on to Janice PM and Nancy C, I'm just going to remind people where we are. We're on page 50, the fourth paragraph, going through the first four sentences, ending in meet a few simple requirements. Okay, Janice PM, take it away.
Well, good morning again. my goodness, my blank brain. Amy, of course, good morning, and good morning, everyone. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. What a paragraph, huh? Here, here, right here in this program, right here in the group, A Vision for You. They, thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. I didn't come in here to get a God. I already had one. I didn't come in here to seek how to get a better job. I came in here because I was doing very well, thank you very much, managing my life. What a lie, right? I came in here because of the food, quote unquote, problem, which I thought was my problem. So I didn't come in here, believe you me, in the 80s, in 1982 or 80, on a winning streak. I came in here because my life really was starting to get very unmanageable with the food, with my life, with me trying to do all, go by, pardon me, all my attitudes. excuse me. But then as the process entailed and I came to listen to the hope, that's what I heard, hope. That people were changing. Their thinking was changing. Their behaviors changed from this to that. And boy, oh boy, was that me. Because I didn't think I had a change. I thought that you had a change, but not me. And of course, I only believed in the worldly things. Better knowledge, more success. A different husband, which, of course, I had the same husband for 60 years. So my attitude, oh, my God, attitudes of being enraged at sometimes, that, you know, of thinking this is the answer, I'll do it this way and my life will be different. And if I'm abstinent, oh, boy, will my life change. It'll be a revolutionary change. No. Abstinence did not give me a revolutionary change. I had to change, first know that I'm powerless, then be willing to find a power greater than myself, because it was all about me, what I knew, what I did, how I was going to act. Well, let me tell you, the revolutionary change, my disease was the revolution, the disease. I couldn't stop eating. And that brought my attitudes and my thinking and my fears and my bewilderments. They all came crushing down on me because of no God, no higher power. My disease.
That's time.
Yes, thank you. I'll be wrapping up. Disease brought me nothing but terror and confusion and hopelessness. But you know what? There's no limit. When I became willing, I didn't have I had my own higher power, but my higher power didn't work. So there's no limit to my God's grace if we do simple requirements. Yes, requirements. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. We are going to ask for Nancy C., and then we'll probably have time for three or four more shares. Okay, Nancy, please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, family. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Michigan. And I just wanted to claim my seat. The shares in the last week have been so amazing to hear the revolutionary changes of so many people who have found a power greater than themselves. And then here, you know, they're saying thousands of men and women. Well, A Vision for You, mine, has every day shows that we can flatly declare. Boy, what did I flatly declare? I never flatly declared anything except for that I was in charge, I was God, and if you didn't do what I wanted, I'd flatly declare I would get even with you. I never talked about God. I was born, raised Catholic, except for it's dawning on me that we never talked about God in my family. We went to church. We did all the things you're supposed to do. But we never mentioned God or what God did for us. I would just pray, you know, holy smoke, and hope things would happen my way. Today, I can flatly declare, I can absolutely say that I believe in a power greater than myself that really literally picked me up from the cake place and revolutionized the way I thought where I started to put God first, other people first, and then myself third by doing the few simple requirements of working the steps. And that there is a power, peace, and happiness and a sense of direction that I have today that I never had. The only thing I had was aimlessly wandering between chocolate chip cookies and donuts. That was the only aimlessly that I had. Today, I will talk and talk and talk, and everyone on this line will talk about a power that has restored us to a place where God wants us. We're all God's kids. We're all doing the best we can, but today we help each other get through. I am so glad that every day I can wake up and thank God for being alive. I can get on this line, hear people thanking God, even when they're going through bad things, because they know that there's an outcome and God will protect them. I am so grateful that I got out of the food, that God really did move me and revolutionize my life, and that I found this strong meeting that really has helped me in my recovery. So if you are new, please stick around, listen to what people say, give your name as a newcomer, take somebody's hand and let them walk you through this step, because you will be revolutionized and you will have life beyond your wildest dreams. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Ann. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Nancy C. from Michigan. Okay, so we're going to take some more names. I think we've got time for two or three. So who would like to share on what was read that hasn't shared in the last couple of days?
Kelly S.
Anne Marie M.
Was that Kelly S?
Yeah.
And Anne Marie? Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. All right, let's go with that and see how we are. All right, Kelly, go ahead.
Sandra Maria.
I'm not sure we'll get to you, but we'll see.
Okay.
Hold on there.
Sure.
All right, so Kelly, please go ahead.
Hey. Hey, Amy. Thanks so much for taking the meeting and your service. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Oh, my gosh. Great shares, yes, has been said all week long. Great part in the book. So just wanted to jump on board here, what other people have been sharing, that, you know, it says here to do certain simple things. You know, the certain attitude and to do certain things. So I have to take action. I've spent my life wanting God to just zap me, right? And just make this easy. And it's been brought up, you know, this spiritual awakening, these gifts, these promises don't happen until step 12. That's when it's promised. You know, I wanted it in step 1, 2, and 3, right? And that's not what it says. And I think it's important here. It says there has been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. Wait, what? That's not what I came in for. I wanted a revolutionary change in the way I was eating, right? And this is the thing, guys. This is a program of change. Tuesday's reader gave us a great definition out of the book about personality change. So as it said, I'm putting down the food, and I had to understand, and it took me decades to understand, it is not about the food, right? Somebody shares on here that, you know, abstinence is God's opening act, right? And if you think about it, okay, we have 12 steps. Only half of one of all 12 mentioned food. The rest of them are about the way I've been living, as it goes in the rest of this paragraph, the way that it says that living was so unsatisfactory, it's like that I was making heavy going of life. So the 11 and a half steps are going to show me how to quit making heavy life, right, and how to get this God and this power. So only half of step one is about of all the steps is about step one. The rest is about the change, right? So I'm putting down the food to do certain simple things, right? After I wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements, simple but not easy. So guess what? I need to know and understand that this is a way of living and thinking and changing and growing, and it's about a relationship with God. That's what this is all about, and it took me a long time, so hopefully it won't take you guys that long. Right? Put the food down. Get busy working the steps. And somebody else shared, these promises can come true, because I've been around and I thought, yeah, whatever, right? And it's true. But you don't know it until you put the food down and go through the steps and get this connection with God and get a new way of living and thinking that you never thought possible. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much, Kelly S. from Oklahoma. All right, Anne Marie M., you're up.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered through God's grace and by working the steps in this program. And in this paragraph, you know, there's a promise. Great share. I really appreciated the first share, the opening share. Breaking down the work that needs to be done to get the promise of, you know, says here, in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of their human resources, they found a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. Yet these, for me, I am true unless I do the work. And it's all broken down here. Step two, step three, step six and seven. I need to do the work. And just about all the promises in this book have conditions that go along with them. And I have to look at those conditions and meet those conditions. And I'm just very grateful to be here. And I'll pass. Maybe we can get that last person in to share. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. So we do have time for, was it Santa Marie? I wasn't catching the first part of your name. Are you still there? Who was that last person that I said I was going to try to get in?
I'm Sandra Marie. I'm sorry, I was muted. Okay. Yeah, can I be heard?
Please go ahead.
Can I be heard? Yes, okay, perfect. Yeah, I just want to praise God. I want to thank God for being here. I want to thank God and all of you for the fact that I'm abstinent today. I went down to the sea this morning and I had so much pain inside. And I know that it was lies and a lot of emotional turmoil going on. And I just made one simple action. I called just a random somebody in an outreach chat, and that started just to open up a little bit door, and I started to cry afterwards. And I found myself, long story short, in like a period of 30 minutes from being a total in despair because of all the inner pain I experienced. It was like God drawing out, you know, this kind of swords in my heart one piece at a time, because I reached out, and then another fellow from the rooms just called me out of nowhere, so to speak. But of course it was God who directed her to call me, and that's the power of God. That's the power of the God I believe. And even though sometimes it makes no sense, like how much can this and this help to do things in the program, for example, but it really, really does, because it opens up the channel and just makes me see things in a new way. And I really can relate. And somebody shared about like a revolutionary change in my mind instead of the food. And that's really, really where it starts. And I'm in a process where I'm in step 6, 7 now. And it's just so obvious that it's the thoughts and it's the character defenses, as somebody said, that keeps me from God. And if I can by this work and by the steps and by you all guys be free from those blockages, I feel so much peace. So I feel peace inside right now. I feel joy. I was able to cry a lot. And God made something new, and I'm just going to continue to take those actions. The pain might still be there, but I'm going to continue, because this too shall pass. I just wanted to share that testimony. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Santa Marie. Can you tell us where you're from, please? Somewhere near a beach, it sounds like.
Sure. Can I still be heard? Can I still be heard?
I beg your pardon? No, I just wanted to know for the contact list what state you're in.
Yes, I will say. I'm in Sweden.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Sweden? Yes, thank you.
Sweden, okay. And did I pronounce that correct?
Yeah, Sandra Maria B. Sandra Maria B. is my last initial.
Sandra Maria B.
B, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Perfect timing.
Like Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So we are, our time is up here. Thank you, everyone, for such a wonderful meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour study immediately following this closing. The share ID for today, 7 a.m., October 3rd, 2024, is 21,794-21794. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Katie G., will you please take us out?
Sure can, Amy. Good morning, everyone. Katie G., a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Katie. All right. Would those who care to please press star one so that we can say the Serenity Prayer together. God,
grant me the serenity.